This is Camping While Awesome. My name is Warren.
My name is Lane.
And I'm Ali.
Thank you for joining us. It's been a minute. We've been piling up episodes, but here we are back again, live and in person. It might sound a little different for a few reasons.
We're in a weird office conference room that will soon hopefully be a studio.
And we have better soundproofing. We put in these amazing sound screens.
I don't know if those are doing anything.
They're not doing much. And then also we have new mics. So hopefully it sounds better or...
It's not going to sound better, but
equally.
Yeah, hopefully it sounds.
Provide your feedback to Zoom.
Zoommics.com.
Zoommics. Yeah.
Yeah.
CA.org.
We have nothing to do with it. Anyways, so this is Camping While Awesome. We're back better than ever. How are you guys doing? Hanging in there, Warren.
I'm doing great, but I feel a little bit like outdoors neglected. It's been several weeks.
You know what's funny about that is today I offered you my canceled camping campsite.
Yeah.
Down in Santa Barbara. And I'd made this reservation like 3 months ago or so, and some friends have the site next to it, and they kind of threw it out there. Weekends were already all booked, which is so annoying. So it was a Wednesday through Saturday, three nights. But life is too busy. And so as it approached, I basically have 1 week between travel from Austin and Cleveland. I just had this one weekend, and I'd have to leave like right now. Like I'd be getting ready to go camping and be gone, having to take Andrew out of school and all this other stuff's piled up. I have like so much stuff going on. So anyways, I offered it to you and you give me the finger. You're like,
no,
you.
I couldn't do it this week.
No,
this is just one of those
weeks. It was super short notice.
Yeah.
And it's far. That's the other thing. It's like a 4 hour drive in the
transit.
Van. Yeah. Transit.
Yeah. Dude. Like meanwhile you have like all of the Santa Cruz mountains to go find.
And we live on the,
like within,
like I live on the beach. I can go to the beach anytime I want. And, being at the beach in Santa Barbara is nice, or it's north of Santa Barbara, El Capitan State Beach, but it's not that different. You know?
Yeah.
So,
and I think we talked about this before, like kind of north of Santa Cruz up going towards Half Moon Bay is kind of like a really cool sweet spot on the California coast. And I would much rather go camping out there because there's awesome wildlife. It's like less busy.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
So anyways, I gave up that spot. And then the other one, speaking of not being out in the nature, another campsite that I had to give up. But I did the trick, the old classic trick of book a 3 weeks or whatever the maximum is to get the weekend you want. And then you cancel this time you're not going to use. But otherwise, it's a little difficult to explain. You have to book 2 weeks ahead of time from the weekend you want, because that's when the reservation window opens. Because otherwise you can't just book the weekend you want. It will have already been booked by people doing what I'm describing. So I had like 10 days up in the Sierra, near Yosemite that I was offering you as well, but that's in May. I think maybe you're gone or something.
Yeah, I think we're right now. My wife is at home. She's not feeling well this week. So this week was shot. And then we're leaving for London in like the 1st of June as soon as the kids get out. So we kind of have to like hunker down and deal with a bunch of house stuff between now and then.
How long are you going for?
I think we're going to be in and around central England and London for about 12 or 15 days.
Nice.
Yeah, we're going to do like 3 days or 4 days in London proper. And then the rest of the time is going to be in the Cotswolds.
Cool.
And then come back to London for a day before we fly out.
Man, I love London. I was just talking to someone about it yesterday. It's so good.
Dude, you would think that maybe it's overrated, and then you go there and you're like, this is actually pretty rad.
Pretty rated.
It's kind of like New York almost, where you're... You know, there's just so many cool things happening all the time.
I think it's less stressful than New York.
Much less stressful, less chaotic, but definitely like no shortage of things to see and places to go to and do.
I love London as well. One thing I was surprised about last time we went was a lot of people in England are like, oh, screw London. I hate London. I don't even go into London.
I can see that. They hate it. It's like LA. If you're used to the Cotswolds or like where Harry's Garage lives, like out in these farm, big estates, that is like hustle and bustle.
Yeah, but we don't live in, you know, we're in Santa Cruz. We don't live in San Francisco, but we're like, oh, San Francisco's rad. Like,
once in a while, yeah.
Yeah, we're not like, screw that.
I know.
They're like, oh, I would never go in there.
That's funny. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's like a weird, I don't understand why, but yeah.
Yeah.
I have gifts for you guys, by the way.
Oh, let's get into it.
This is like a random thing that I found at a CVS. So I'll give the first one to you guys to kind of soak in. This is a quick soak in. These are Matchbox, or you can explain what it is.
Matchbox Hitch and Haul series. It is a camping set. So it's got a Jeep, a trailer, like a pop-up trailer, Aussie style off-road one. And then it has like little, like a bear and a wolf and a hiking man and some sort of sign or something.
That one's the gateway drug.
Okay.
But then the real meth shows up here.
Oh, it should have a Sasquatch.
The other one is the camping on the beach set. And it is a Volkswagen Doka.
T3 Doka.
With a really cool kind of retro old camper. But
it
then,
says locals only on the side of it too.
Whoa.
Does it?
Yeah, on the door.
Oh, it does. It does say locals only on it. And then, it's got a wave that you can put these little surfboards on.
Look at the lounge dude.
Oh, man.
Look at the photo, the scene in the photo. Like,
oh, right. So you're supposed to paint these, apparently.
I guess, yeah. And there's the lounge dude is like lounging back with a beer. It's like that is a
this whole
thing.
This is called the MBX Wave Rider. Good job, Ollie. This is quite nice.
You should show Lane. I think Lane's missing out.
Yeah, that's good. So you found that at a CVS?
Yeah.
Well, the wave is awesome.
Yeah.
No, the dude laying in the recliner with a beer in his hand.
That guy's pretty cool, too.
Yeah,
nice this is see. Super cool.
Nice to see those things out there.
Yeah, I like it.
It's very cool. So do you keep it in the package, or do you actually open it?
No, I'm not. I'm not Kevin. Shout out to Kevin at AutoWorks Detailing. This is for all you Hot Wheels collectors.
Locals only.
Locals like only.
It's opening a package of Hot Wheels.
It's Matchbox.
Matchbox, but, whatever.
Yeah. I prefer Matchbox, actually. I call them Matchbooks.
They're more accurate.
They are.
But they don't glide as smooth.
I'm not really playing with them too much anymore.
This is really good. Podcast fodder.
Well, when we get the video set up, this will be the unboxing videos do really well on the internet. So,
oh yeah,
I have to stick to that. But as far as painting these, I don't think that's happening.
Lane will do it.
I'll do it.
Oh, perfect.
Hey, this is totally off subject, but have you guys heard of those? You know, like every motorhome has an awning or trailer, fifth wheel trailer.
Yeah,
they have these like wind sensing trailers. Have you seen that?
Yeah, ours, my camper,
oh,
my
it does do
Airstream
that?
Does that. Has a wind, it has like a wind sensor, and if it gets...
It retracts.
Yeah.
It's really...
It's pretty rad.
Kind of cool if it works. Because it could save your, basically your awning.
Right. Yeah. I could see that getting annoying, though, if it wasn't...
Like if it's not windy and you're like, dude, it's barely windy. And this thing keeps closing on us.
Or it has an alarm and it's like going off. And you're like, yeah, we get it. It's windy. Like,
yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a pretty cool.
That's kind of like, it's cool, but it's also more technology than you
exactly.
actually need.
It's kind of like the Bluetooth temperature sensor in a barbecue, right, Ollie?
It's like if you leave your trailer,
don't
just
talk to
close
me about
the on
right now.
Right. Or just be aware that you're camping and there's wind, and then like if it gets windy, you close it.
Yes.
Yeah, but what if you're like,
okay, I hate this idea of a motorized automatic awning. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I don't like it one bit.
Thank you.
What if
you
and just, I'm over this technology.
Thank you.
What if you just make the awning so that it can handle whatever wind you throw at it?
Yeah, I mean that's the nice thing, right?
The thing is, what if look at Dorothy's situation? It picks up your trailer because of that's working as a sail.
So I got something for you.
Then
guys.
You just put ski bindings on the mount for the awning.
Oh, you ride it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
You just get like Rosignol ski bindings.
Rosignol. That's a good. That's a good call, dude.
Yeah,
that's a
good call, Rosignol.
K2.
So they have
it's too stiff.
They have we all know pop up tents, right? That you use at tailgating and camping, whatever.
Wait, what?
Pop up tents, easy ups.
We
all
know.
Oh, like
we
a
all
beach
know,
or yeah,
beach
yeah,
or whatever. Yep. But one of the big issues with those is that they blow over if they get enough wind. They don't have that baffle, right? And
some of them do nowadays.
Some of them do, but not all of them. Most of the cheap ones do not, especially like branded tents that we use at shows and stuff.
Those are not cheap, by the way.
Right. They're not even cheap. Why not make that out of like trampoline material that allows air through, but it's still pretty sun resistant, mm-hmm. and you can put branding on it, but it allows the wind to go through it.
I have a feeling the reason that they didn't, I'm willing to bet you can find one that's like that, but a lot of people also use these things for in the rain cover.
I totally get that. Maybe you have two covers that you can swap in and out.
I'm willing to bet with a 3-minute Amazon search, we can find exactly what you're looking
for. Yeah, there's like a sun one and then a protective cover.
Because it would eliminate all these. I was just at a show, Radwood Austin, shout out to Radwood, but
what's Radwood?
I can't get into it right now, but the wind was a serious problem. It was at Circuit of the Americas. There's 30-40 mile an hour gusts, and we lost 2 tents almost completely. People didn't set up tents that were supposed to because it was so windy. But my thinking is, it's just because the wind has nowhere to go. You know, it's a parachute. So could you make it out of a material, Ollie, think about this, that would be good for camping and sun? And then if it was raining, you could even put a cover over that. So it'd be two layers, or you'd swap it out, something like that.
I mean, I think there's a single material solution with a clever design that'll just do all of that.
Rain and wind?
Yeah, but like, I mean, you can get a trans... No?
You think... I don't even think trampoline material would work. I don't think wind... Well, I think wind is moving that thing around.
Really?
Especially
if it's not porous enough.
And if it's too porous, it won't do shit for the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the right solution is just a standard, like, good easy up with one of those, like, venting hats on the top. Kind of like a nice umbrella.
Yeah, yeah. That's where my thought was, is a nice umbrella has that second little...
But I have a lot of spoilers for downforce.
Downforce is key.
NACA duct?
Jesus Christ, dude. We can get Gordon Murray on it. He can add, like, a fan to the back of, like...
Oh, put a NACA duct with some tube, some pipe I'm air down. Through?
Yeah. You're not right. Thinking outside the box, Warren.
All right. Speaking of camping gear, I want to talk about this really
Let's
quick.
Let's talk about this.
This made me upset. Just downright upset.
It made him upset enough to where he texted an upset text to me.
And I think I threw in a hashtag overrated.
WTF or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
I believe so.
I had to leave the room that I was in because my kids were there.
Yeah.
I could feel the tension.
Can I talk to you about how these cars you gave, that you gifted us, are by different, they're by the same company, but the scale is totally different.
Scales. Yeah.
Which is kind of ridiculous because you would expect to play with them together. The Jeep is bigger, as big as the camper.
The Jeep is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not right. It is a totally different wrong
scale.
It's
like that one big Jeep in Dubai. Like
that doesn't
that
even
one
make
guy
sense.
That makes everything all scaled up.
How would they even do that? It's the same series
that's
of toys.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the difference between Matchbox and Hot Wheels. I'm just saying, all right?
Gosh. Just when I was all in.
So all what right. was this, Warren? What made you upset? What
all right,
made
so I got a targeted ad for a Yeti. They call it the...
Yeti's so good, by the way.
Trailhead.
I love Yeti. I wish I could just invest in the company.
I'm not going to listen to this. Trailhead camp chair. All right. It's just a folding chair.
What color?
I think it comes in gray or blue.
Ooh, nice. That looks like a $500 chair.
It's a nice chair, right?
Wow. Look at how the back arches. Super nice.
Yep.
I'm down.
And we'll give them extra credit for not having it be a pinch chair where your thighs are pinched to the middle, which are most of those cheap umbrella folding style chairs you get at like Walmart.
Garbage.
Wait, so how do those...
So it allows it
that
to be
one doesn't
flat,
fold, it just
flat base. I'm not sure how it folds completely, but it's got a cup holder, and that is all.
Is it insulated?
Hard to say. It doesn't look that great.
Just like how many hours will that cup holder keep your soda cold?
It goes into a little backpack. That's not revolutionary. Okay. My chairs do that as well.
You make your own chairs?
The chairs I bought from Woods in Canada, which is sort of like their Eureka or Coleman. I mean,
you're talking about Canadian chairs, dude. Yeah. Like, sitting is a national sport. They like created curling, dude. Like, it's a whole different world over there.
Absolutely. And I did my research.
It's
so,
like us going to a Pep Boys here and then going to a real tuner shop in Japan. Like, it's a whole different thing.
Right. So this is a chair that you would buy to take camping or outdoors. This is not something you have permanently on your patio or use every day. This is just a camping chair. Now, the one I mentioned from Walmart, I bought one for Radwood, Seattle, PNW, and I think I paid $6 for it. Granted, it was cheap, super cheap, shitty Chinese children making this thing and awful.
But right? It worked.
It worked totally fine, and I bet it would have worked for many years if I kept it. I left it in Seattle. So how much would you pay for this Yeti chair that's used for camping?
I say $550 is a good price.
Give me a break, dude.
Dude, inflation.
Stop it.
It's like price, COVID, dude.
I mean, I already know the price because you told me. Can I look at
wake up and the smell picture? The COVID?
Just so I can see the, yeah.
I would say honestly,
quality that I've come to expect from Yeti.
I think I looked at that chair. I don't think I sat in it yet.
It looks
like a nice quality chair.
I will give you it's a nice quality
plastic
chair.
Handle.
I would probably put that at like the $50-$60 range.
Right.
Is like
and maybe you
fair,
could say 100.
You brand it goes
yeah,
to like
I'm looking at a $100 chair. You know what's weird though? Like we outfitted this office we're in or these offices.
Office chairs are
okay, ridiculous.
But see, they're rated by hours, right? They say it's like a 10-hour chair, a 12-hour chair because it's meant to be how much you're sitting in it. And you sit in it 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
And they are ergonomic for all sorts of different people and weights and heights and all this stuff. This is a camping chair that you use occasionally. It's zipped up and put into a bag. Granted, it will last a long time, I'm sure, but this chair, and now Ollie, I can't trust you on pricing anymore. I'm sorry.
It does support 500 pounds.
That's amazing. I'm glad that.
500 pounds? Is it wide enough for a 500 pound person?
I don't know, but that's pretty crazy.
That's very strong. That's incredible.
Because of the 5-year warranty.
$300, folks, for a.
For how many?
One.
What?
So can you imagine, like. I mean, four of those things is a lot of money. I'm not doing the math here. No one knows how much that is.
No.
Four times five is a lot.
I said four.
It's three.
Three. Anyhow.
There's several versions of this, too. I was like, oh, let me.
Wait, five times three?
They have a base camp chair as well, like a Hondo. And it's a different design.
Like co-branded with Honda?
It's also $300.
Yeah.
Well, that one's kind of cool.
That's like the little beach chair, right? Lower. Uh-huh.
That looks like a $30 beach chair.
Yeah.
I know. So my point is it's kind of like those guys with the Tacomas that have all the gear, you know, they got their skids and they got the,
skids. That's what they call them.
What do they call those things? The little 4x4 track.
Oh yeah. The,
yeah, yeah. I don't know what they're called. But they're hanging out the back, basically.
They get them strapped on.
You went too far, bro. Like, you just deserve to be stuck.
They're strapped on their, like, $10,000 roof rack, and they have the gas cans that have never been used.
Who makes that cool camper shell that we all talk about?
They've got the shovel, and they've got this and that. Everything's meticulous. The Tacoma is detailed and waxed.
I love this review photo.
Oh, but they're flexing their green egg in the back.
Two green eggs, but
Ollie, don't be jealous. Ollie, take it easy.
I mean, first of all, you're completely ridiculous if you're replicating the functionality of your green egg. Like, green egg has such limited functionality.
Yeah.
I'm going to get killed by all the green egg fans. Yes, it'll do everything, but it kind of does everything in a shitty way. It just does a couple things really well.
Hey, we don't
really
swear on this podcast.
I'm sorry.
I'm not a green egg guy. A, I can't afford it. B, I don't want to do it.
We had one in our backyard forever. I'd never used it.
They're really, really cool for like a couple of things, and then they're kind of okay for a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, it's good. You can smoke stuff. That's an expensive chair though. I understand your pain.
I mean, camping chairs also are meant to be dragged around in the dirt, sat in with, you know, s'mores stuff on you, charcoal and
I mean, maybe that thing will last better than other things.
5-year warranty is pretty amazing. Most camping products are not anywhere near that. So you are paying a little bit for
500 pound weight limit.
I wonder how
that means you could
it's strong.
Maybe jump on it. You know, people can kind of plop down and
for sure. So the Woods chairs that I bought are a similar style where you aren't pinched, and they were $75 each.
Uh-huh.
I can buy two of them, and I'm not going to do that math either. That's way too hard.
75 times two is like
nobody
really
knows.
Complicated.
Yeah, so you can buy four for the price of one.
Yes. Exactly. And it has a reclining feature, the armrest lift up, and you can go back, and it's got a little higher headrest so you can take a nap in it.
Okay.
And it's got the cup holder. I'm just saying.
Should we start a GoFundMe to get
Woods
one of these
Canada
Yeti chairs?
No, we can't afford that. We're not going to do that. That would be crazy.
We can do a Kickstarter.
No, I don't want to do that. It's just annoying to me. I don't know why.
But why is it so annoying to you? I mean,
I think it's a poser thing. It's so unnecessary.
Okay, but so is like,
and if you're looking at it, you're looking at it from like a consumer perspective of you wouldn't spend that much for a chair because I can get close to that quality for a fourth the price.
Exactly.
Okay, but can't you look at that in every other market that you ever shop in ever? And there's always something like that, like a halo product kind of thing.
For sure, but I think that I need to sit in one and check it out. But I think the difference
is thinking about that exact same thing, like. The difference is generally that super priced halo product is not something that is considered almost like kind of disposable, like a camping chair kind of is.
Yeah, right? I think that's the problem.
I still use the same camping chair I've used for many years. So obviously not disposable. I use it all the time, but it's still kind of seen as like this weird, like it's almost like, I was going to use an analogy of like watches, right? Like we can all get by with our G-Shocks or our Casios or our whatever, but then like Lane and you and I just talked about this, like you have these like Rolexes that are like $30,000-$50,000 on your wrist. It's just it's the status, right? It's the thing that say like, yeah, when you pull up to the campsite and you're walking by all the campsites and you see that one site with like four Yeti chairs that you're marking to come back and grab later in the night, but well, you see that, that's like, that's what they want next to their Tacoma with that,
yeah,
aluminum box camper shell and their like ladder and like, I know, all of I this know. Stuff
I right? guess it's just a little bit it's of a the scene. Poser thing. Yeah,
don't you think a lot of REI stuff's like that too though, like pretty overpriced for the quality?
Some of it, yeah.
I would definitely say some of it, but there's also like, if you go to REI, there's definitely, they curate it better than they could, like they could really just get like, what's the most expensive of
okay, everything. Let's say something throwaway then. How about jackets? Like these like really expensive Patagonia jackets that, I mean, are they really better than the Columbia for a third the price?
So that is a little different because they do sustainable stuff that they're, yeah, they're like, they're paying more for the product and they're paying more for production. They're paying more for all that. And they also have like the recycling stuff. I don't know. I'm totally with you.
You're paying for the image of the ethics, like with Patagonia, for example.
I know, but yeah, you're still paying for something that isn't.
Yeah, you can go to Target.
Tangible.
Yeti's not walking
and
around.
And I'm not saying I'm one way or the other, but I'm saying I am willing. Yeah. Sometimes I am willing to spend money on, and it might, there's really no difference.
I mean, I could tell you right now, if I go sit in that chair and it's like the best camping chair I've ever sat in, I'll pay the $300 and buy two each, $300 each.
I know. I guess,
which is like $45,000.
I think you could, it's such a like utilitarian thing as a camping chair. It's not a jacket you have on.
And it is
on.
Something that's going to get dirty. It is something that,
dude,
is, you hope you don't have to be like, hey kids, wash your hands before you sit in the chair. I think it's $300.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. Or if someone like drags it too close to the fire and it gets like some embers on it. And
oh my God, could you imagine?
I can understand that. Yeah, you have $1,200 for the chairs. Yeah. And they're like, they just literally are plastic.
You got like some chairs, like crappy wood, and it's like popping embers all over the chairs while you're out on a walk. Like,
yeah. Yeah. You get pissed if someone sits in it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I just think the price difference is so great. Like
I'm with you, Warren.
Four times the price.
Warren's offended. He comes in with a negative viewpoint towards Yeti to begin with, though.
I do. So, I do. That's just like a cherry on the top, right?
You know what? I think there's this, I think I am a victim of this and I fall into it. It's not so much that like Yeti makes the best stuff or anything like that. Like I have on my desk right now, I have a Yeti coffee mug and a Yeti water thing. But there's something nice to know that you're buying something that I can replace that cap. I could, you know what I'm saying?
Like, sure.
Like rather than buying the generic one,
yeah,
although I have learned that you could just buy the generic Yeti size caps, right, and they fit all these different mugs.
Right.
Yeah. Like we have some Hydro Flask cups that we use at home for water, like for bedtime, yeah, water and stuff like that. And the Hydro Flask lids are kind of like not great. So we just found like really good aftermarket style.
Yeah.
You know, cheap Chinese.
No, lids. I've been buying these aftermarket Yeti lids and they fit these other like these knockoff Yetis that we had, yeah, for a DW rally. They fit those. So they have the nice magnet,
yeah,
the magnet slider that the Yetis, yep, have, but they're not Yeti branded. So rather than being $20 a lid, they're like $2 for $15 or something. Yeah, like $7. And I always buy like 10 at a time. So I have a drawer full of lids. So I have way more lids than I do mugs.
Crazy.
Works. Dude, that's like life goals stuff right there. That's like new socks every day stuff.
Dude, you can't do that.
More lids than, I mean, think about that, guys.
You don't like freshly washed socks?
Oh,
over new socks?
Well, no, you want the new ones washed.
Yeah, the new ones just washed.
Okay, but you only want socks for like 3 months. You don't want to post 3 months.
You keep your socks for 3 months?
I keep my socks for years sometimes.
Yeah, me too.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I wait till the holes start to show up and you're like, all right, now it's time.
Mm-hmm.
Just go on Amazon, order a bunch of K-Bell socks. And
it's like, feel like I bought a Hazit mobile tool kit the other day.
Yeah, that thing is rad. I can't wait to see
it. But that's like, I could get the same tools.
Yeah, see, I can't roll with Hazit. It's too nice.
Like wrench brand or something.
I don't know if Lane, I listened to your other podcast. That Hazit tool kit that I use in the back of my BMW.
Yeah.
It's $400 right now on Amazon.
It's a lot, dude. I can make a set way, way cheaper that I would actually use.
Okay.
One thing I have learned, actually, it's hard to build a kit. I talked about this.
Talk about like knocking on the wind out of somebody's sales. Podcast.
I'm just saying. That's why I was saying that it's so expensive.
But I did build a tool kit for my other car.
Yep.
And I got a bag and I got all the tools I need. And I did spend a couple $100 still.
Yeah, you still. And then it's just your time and like, oh shit, I forgot this and this doesn't match that.
So then I bought this kit and it was $150 more.
It's all relative to what you're comfortable spending, but I do appreciate when people are like, you know, let's say the video or the article is, here's the Hazit set. Here's the $100 hack.
Here's how to replicate it. That's
a here's the $100 Harbor Freight hack.
And maybe that's what you sell.
And you just like go to Harbor Freight and it's the tools that you use 3 times a year. It's not like stuff you're using every day. Like Hazit's great for that if you're opening the tool chest every day. But
the car toolkit, you're literally hoping to never touch it. Really. Yeah.
And then it's something that you
hack. Actually, yeah. You know what I hate is, I don't know if it's just a me thing, but with buying tools, because tools have to do with camping too. You always need tools when you're doing stuff. But it's really hard to just find a metric set.
Or, oh, I know.
You know, I'm always metric for everything I do, so I don't need the SAE. And it's always like, you get both. And I'm like, I don't want both because I really just want to throw all those other ones away.
Or they give you this set. You're like, here's your mechanics tool set. And it comes with all these weird tools that you're never going to use. Yeah. Like,
it's just to get their tool count up.
Exactly.
To say it's like 135 pieces.
Exactly. Yeah. And but, it's like half of them you don't need.
But there's some of these new brands out there, Boxo, Sonic, a few of these like kind of like, started life as Harbor Freight style tools with like minor improvements to make them more usable and better. And then now you can buy like a full Boxo English kit or metric kit. And they have different levels of all the way.
Well, that's what's cool. But the Hazit kit I bought was just all metric.
Yep.
And I was stoked on that. And it's more like I would almost pay more to have less tools if they're the ones I want.
Exactly.
And I don't have to go through them and throw stuff.
Totally.
Kind of. And I don't want to throw that stuff away because it's good tools. So, you know, at home, I have
who's
like...
Who's ever thrown a tool away?
Like, I have so many, like, but also American standard Allen stuff wrenches, that I'm just never going
to
use.
And you're more likely to keep that toolkit nice and tidy and together.
Because there's less tools.
If it's a set and it's like a clean set of stuff. Like, if you buy another tool that I like to have in, like, every one of my glove boxes is the WERA, W-E-R-A, the little WERA tool check, which is kind of like a little package of bits, a bit driver. So it'll do like a few little socket things, a few hex keys, and then a really nice kind of bit set. Anyways, that is nice because it's a one unit. I know if there's a bit missing, I know exactly like, you know, where, what I use. And I know when I put it back in the glove box, it should be complete. Right. If I had a kit that was basically in like a glorified Ziploc bag with like this brand of this and that brand of that, and I use my 10.
Yeah, you wouldn't know what's missing.
You wouldn't know what's missing. You wouldn't know how to like put it all back together and keep it clean and all. That's the reason I like that Hazit set, for example, is because it has all the tool cutouts.
I love it.
And then I know that when I close it, I can look at everything it's populated and I don't have to think like, oh man, is my 4 millimeter Allen missing? It's like, it's right there.
That's also the other one you sent me. There was more like a regular toolkit as opposed to like a car.
Also for us, you know, we're on this podcast and we have other car endeavors. $400 isn't that much. We use the tools, you know, on these.
It's like less than a tune-up set of parts.
Right. And so it's a good investment and tools last forever. So conceivably you'll have this thing as long
and
as
how much
car.
Would you pay for the right set of tools when you're on the side of the road?
I know. Exactly. It's not that expensive. I just, my point is you can maybe there's a way to hack it where you get their exact set, and maybe that's what you did, Lane.
That's kind of what I did. Yeah. And I didn't go the cheapest route. I went like a little mid-grade kind of thing.
Yep.
But it was still $200, and I have a bigger bag that I can put more stuff into if I need to, but
yeah,
it definitely isn't as like concise.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is the nice thing about that little Hazek kit that I bought.
So Ali, tell us about Airstream life these days.
Well, I was going to ask, how are we doing on time?
Do you have a call?
We're actually 30 minutes in, so I think
let's talk about the Airstream. Oh, you want to do the show?
Yeah, I think we can call it
Airstream teaser next episode.
Or the one after. It depends how we arrange these.
Or whenever, dude. Like, whatever Warren wants is what we're going to get.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Later.